You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What we remember is that Podcast Detroit again.
This is
eight is about to
Andy
happen.
Hates these things.
You always they don't. He doesn't like always.
You always try to throw a song in there. I'm so bad at these. I never do them. And then I'm just sitting here left out while you guys have your own party.
See, but the weird thing is Andy can actually sing.
Yeah, and beatbox. He just chooses not to do either.
Look, I you know, if I'm
just
gonna
all,
do it,
all of
I'm
your weaknesses
do it right.
Become your hobbies.
You know, I'm not gonna debase myself with these.
This name is Andy, and he can't rap.
Yeah, well that was real good. Yeah. No one can in this room.
What do you mean? I can rap presents.
Wow.
Christmas time?
That's a brand
Wait.
You're going to use your one already?
Wow. That was real early,
so
buddy.
This show hasn't even started.
You're going to be real sad when we're...
We said we could each ring the bell once, and Andy already wasted his.
Yeah, I did.
Just right off the bat.
It was a Brad joke.
It was a Brad joke.
Wow. And we are the gang from What We Remember. We do a podcast where we talk about movies we haven't seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Bradley Jones.
My name is Andrew Moldenhauer.
My name is Andy Hubert.
And we normally talk about movies we haven't seen in a long time. I already said that. Mm-hmm. Bears repeating, though, because when we come to Podcast Detroit, we talk about a movie that we have
that
seen.
A lot of people have probably seen recently. Yeah,
it's
usually
in
some
the theaters.
We go outside to another building where we go inside. And
a building?
A building. Then we get drunk.
Well, to peel back the curtain, we can't really do our normal episodes because we have to go watch the movie in between the part ones and part two.
No one wants to sit here for that.
No. Well, you're going to listen to just us watch Norbit, you know, for 2 hours? Nobody wants that. I don't want that.
No.
That sounds terrible.
I'd listen to that.
I'll make you a mixtape.
Thanks. Brad watches Norbit.
Yeah, all of his hot takes.
It'll just be like silence. Two and me, like, sometimes giggling or like getting up to get food out of the refrigerator.
You're not even like commenting on the movie. You're just sitting there.
So this is What We Remember about a movie we just saw, and we just saw The House with the Clock in Its Walls.
Were there two or three bad guys in Home Alone? And who was that forgetful fish in Finding Nemo? Join us as we're watching films. See what we remember and what memories we kill. Let's start the show. Here we go.
So let me start off. Andy Hubert, did you watch this movie?
I did watch this movie. I watched it today.
You watched it today?
I saw it today.
Yeah. Andy and I went to the theaters on Sunday and saw it.
Yeah, it was like getting down to the wire, and we couldn't decide which movie to do.
Well, there was
Brad
like,
decided.
There was two weeks that passed where I was like, hey, guys, what movie should we watch? And then just no one said
happened.
Anything.
It was just silence.
And then it was Saturday,
there's
and I was
nothing
like,
out there that has really excited us.
I was like, hey, guys, I'm going to go see this movie. Is anyone come see it with me? And he's like, I'll see it tomorrow. I was like, okay, I guess that's fine. Andy Hubert, like, we're going to go see this movie. Are you going to see it? He doesn't respond.
I was up north all weekend. I couldn't get it.
That's true.
Get back to see it in time, but...
But
just in time,
movie.
You did watch it.
I did watch it just in time.
Ooh, time.
Time.
Walls.
Is it,
whoa.
Oh, we're talking about Just in Time, the movie with...
Just in Time? Justin?
Nick
of Time.
Just in Time.
Nick of Time is a good movie.
Nick Jonas
with,
Time?
Johnny Depp.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's the one with the... oh, no.
Oh, what is happening?
No. What's the one with
the
one?
Oh, no.
Clockstoppers?
Clockstoppers? How did you pull Clockstoppers?
Wow. They stopped the clock.
How did you do that? That movie, no one said that
what?
Movie title.
I can still picture the cover. The guy's wearing like a silver shirt and like orange pants.
You might as well
say
Big Fat Liar for all I knew.
No, so it's the one. I think it is Just in Time where they have the time on their arms and time is currency and it's...
No, you're thinking of the movie
the one with Justin Timberlake?
Justin Timberlake.
That's why it's Just in
Time.
Just in Time.
Justin
Timberlake
just
time.
Just in Time.
Oh, no.
Which is not this movie.
Because time's up. Here we go.
For that. Round. Content.
This conversation. I forgot that time's up meant something else in 2018 just now.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I kind of stumbled a bit.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, me too. So this movie is not a...
I'll use it.
Okay.
There you go. Okay.
This movie is not. Is it not a Goosebumps movie?
Ooh.
No. Okay, Goosebumps, that's really the question.
No, that's Goosebumps, how.
Two Spumps comes out in 2 weeks.
This movie came out in between Two Scumps and Goosebumps. Goosebumps.
Truscrumps.
Yeah.
I called this movie Goosebumps Adjacent. It's
Goosebumps Light.
It's the or good. Light, I think rather. It's a good version of the Goosebumps movie, is what I thought. Because I saw Goosebumps. Did you guys see that?
No. Why would I
didn't.
Do that?
It
no.
wasn't. It was not great.
It looks too kiddy.
I mean,
looks like it's
a kid movie.
It's two for kids, though. I need to get some spookums in there.
I don't. I would probably go watch it. I bet it's just like visiting all the characters.
I think it's a good watch for like.
I didn't watch it.
Like,
I would go back and maybe watch it.
It's a good October watch, like when you're getting your Halloween. That'd be a fun movie to throw in if you're watching, like, you know, Halloween Town or something.
There was one part of the two or the first bump.
The first bumps.
Was once bumps to three times a charm.
Two spumps.
And there's a part where the doll talks to the kids, and it's really creepy. That doll is still
the
scary.
Triloquist doll.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The classic dummy doll.
Yep.
From the Goose.
Night of the Living Dummy.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Part one.
That part's scary. And then
there's like four parts.
And then the Yeti just like gets out, and like ruckus happens in the town, and they probably just go back in the book at the end, and then it's like, oh, there's still more. That's how Toothbump starts. Is like, there's another book.
Does it have like the beastly creature, or like the one
where to find
the Shocker on Shock Street?
The Shocker on Shock Street.
No, the big mantis. Yeah
somebody just goes around giving people the Shocker.
I love to
that.
Watch
that was
this.
What actually my favorite Goosebumps book was. Shocker on Shock Street. It was good.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell you that I read anyone from start to finish.
Oh my god, I literally have like 20 of them.
Yeah,
on
I might have got
right
too
now.
Spooked out.
Say Cheese and Die. The other class.
Oh
like,
yeah,
the camera that predicts death. This has been what we saw about Goosebumps.
Well, it's related to
what
this
we read.
It is so
because we got Jack Black.
Yeah, it's a little bit Goosebumps. It's a little bit Harry Potter. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit
Goosebumps. Yeah.
A little bit Harry Potter.
There's some magic in there. Is that what you're getting to?
Yeah.
It's sort of like a little Miss Peregrine's. I don't know if you guys saw that one.
Nobody
either.
Saw that.
Oh, my gosh.
No. That was.
Am I the only one that watches movies?
No.
Here?
Yes. Apparently.
We have to watch this.
No.
Have you seen Clockstoppers? Come on.
That's not a real movie.
They stop the clock.
I don't think that's a real movie. I think you're both making this up and you're trying to make me believe you.
Mm.
So this movie takes place in 1955.
It does.
In New Zebedee,
Michigan.
Michigan. Where is that on the hand?
Is it made up?
I assumed it was made up. I've never heard of Zebedee, so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to go visit there. Now I can't do that.
Joke's on
you. Well, I think so.
Joke's on us.
I briefly skimmed through the Wikipedia for the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparent if you go to that, it's based off of some city.
How many?
Yeah,
Michigan. Like Marshall, Michigan or something?
Marshall. Yeah, that's what it was.
How many books are in the series?
There's a lot. There's like 12.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. And
that's a lot of books.
The first three came out in the 70s, like the mid 70s.
Really?
The next four came out in like throughout the 90s. And
you know what movie we just did that had that same pattern was I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a second book to that?
Yeah.
There's multiple
books, yeah.
How many?
A lot.
Oh my gosh.
People really, really remember what they did that summer.
I still haven't forgotten what you had done,
Grandma.
The summer before the last summer.
Get this guy out of here,
Pepperidge Farm.
He's been telling it for 40 years.
Yeah, those dang
like
kids.
Grandpa. No one cares anymore. All of them are dead now from old age.
Right.
So the making of books into movies has sort of waned a little bit. There's some room now.
Yeah.
Because all these Marvel movies have been coming out.
We've
already forgotten about Percy Jackson, the Lightning Thief. We've forgotten about Lemony Snicket.
We literally,
here's
all
the thing,
this
though.
Stuff. We just talked about Ready Player One like 2 months ago.
That's true. I'm lying.
These movies may not also be in the forefront of your mind because we don't have children. And all of these movies are marketed towards, you know, like
young
junior
adults
high,
or kids. Yeah.
Late elementary school. This movie, I feel like, is really just for like the 10 to 12 kind of range. Like, somewhere in there, it feels.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like too spooky for that age.
Yeah. Like, this is a good PG, like, kind of spook.
It's a Spielberg
film.
Spook, too.
I forgot about that.
He hadn't been done in a spooking in a while.
Yeah. He's back with the spooks.
He's back. Now, did he produce?
He produced. Yes. Yeah.
It's Amblin Entertainment.
Because I know, like, because Eli Roth directed.
Yeah, what's
right?
up with that?
I thought that was a cool choice.
Yeah, we should talk about
Hostel?
There were some cool moments where I felt it felt very Eli Roth. Like there's a scene where pumpkins are barfing pumpkin guts all over them, and I was like,
yeah,
yeah, that's that's some Eli Roth.
The pumpkins
Roth
look
stuff
pretty
right
good
there.
Too. They look pretty creepy and scary. Mm-hmm. But the only person that was getting pumpkin guts barfed on them was Jack Black.
He's the only one willing to sign that contract.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, he had it all over his face. Cate Blanchett had nothing
He'll
on.
He'll get gooped for sure.
Yeah. Okay, we didn't even say who's in this movie.
Oh, that's your
favorite.
Who's
my thing?
That's your favorite.
It's, well, it's not my favorite. It's just a thing.
There's only two people.
It's
that,
your
favorite. Three, I guess?
Yeah. You have Jack Black,
Cate
Blanchett.
Go for it. Yep.
You have Kyle MacLachlan.
Yep.
Did you and say that name correctly?
Kyle MacLachlan. Yeah.
Okay, yep. You said it differently the second time.
you were fine, Andy. Brad doesn't understand.
You said MacLachlan first, and then MacLachlan second.
No.
Like the MacLachlan group.
MacLachlan.
MacLachlan.
And then the boy from Room is in this.
Mm.
Tremblay.
Was that his name?
Jason Tremblay?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. I didn't look like the big kid from The Room.
Well, the kid in The Room had, like, super long hair.
It just his face didn't look the same.
Was it?
Well, it's called growing up.
He
Brad.
Also cut his
try
hair
it sometime.
At the end of Room.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes.
Yeah. Growing up isn't easy. Remember the witches? You guys see that movie?
The witches
witch?
Of the worst.
I was thinking
witch?
A theme song from The Worst Witch for the one person that gets that reference.
I thought you were talking about
who is
you
that?
A high five.
I thought you were
probably
talking about
my sister.
Witches.
That's a good film too.
I haven't seen the film. I've
Another
read
spooky
the book.
Kids thing.
Yeah. Okay.
You haven't read the book?
I've read the book. I've not seen the movie.
Hmm.
Of what?
Witches.
Have you seen the book, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you ever read the movie?
Just the audiobook. So, no, I haven't seen the book. I just listened to the audiobook.
It's like a movie.
Listen to it like on Kidstar Radio way back in the day.
All right, so...
Eric Kripke wrote this, and do you know who he is?
I don't know who he is.
He
I know created, you got excited when
I know you're
going to
tell us.
He created Supernatural.
That's sci-fi.
That's a show, right? I haven't watched that either. I don't know.
It was like 14 episodes going on that show right now. It's insane.
14 episodes?
Seasons?
That's not that many.
Yeah, series is.
Series is ease.
Yeah. So Eli Roth is the director. It's just like he.
Cabin Fever.
Yeah, I guess he's making a switch to more mainstream movies?
I couldn't tell
Maybe?
You. Maybe?
I don't know.
What a director like him should do is go back and forth.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
That's
think,
what anyone should do in that place.
Yeah.
That's why like Elijah Wood's great, because he does it both.
Mm-hmm.
Danny Radcliffe, play the field.
What are some recent movies that Eli Roth has directed? I know he did Death Wish, right?
Knock Knock.
Oh, geez. He did do that.
I don't even remember that.
With Keanu Reeves?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He did do Death Wish.
He did.
That movie came and went real fast.
Well, he did.
It did.
Was it Death Wish or Planet Terror? Which one did he did?
No,
Planet
you're
Terror
thinking
is Robbie
you're thinking
Rob,
Grindhouse.
Oh,
he did
no,
Death
you're right.
Wish
Death Wish, the
with
yeah, okay.
Bruce Willis
right.
that just came out this year.
The remake, yeah.
Right. So this is, I'm just saying it feels like a little bit of a change for him to go to doing a kid's movie, but
no,
I feel
is.
Like it works. Well,
I think
like,
I read in the
I
trivia.
His directing style
I read in the trivia. This is like his first movie not rated R.
Yeah.
There was a few things that were good and a few things that were bad.
I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a solid, like enjoyable PG.
There were some scenes where I was like,
"Oops, movie.
This is too weird of a movie. And it took place in the basketball court or in the school. Where, like,
it started to feel like movie.
It felt too movie or too like TV, like TV show, like Saved by the Bell.
There were a few spots where I thought
stylistically, I'm wondering if some of that is kind of tweaked a little bit to make it seem more obvious for like a younger generation. I don't know, like
maybe
like, these are story elements. Like you can kind of you can piece them out pretty easily yourself, but maybe it's
carry over from the book though too.
They're just so static and boring.
Yeah.
Also in that. Lion topiary kept pooping.
It felt played out.
I did not like
it. It felt played out right after the first time it happened.
And it happened two more
like
times.
But the basketball scene does feel a little. I don't know. It's like kind of forcing it a little bit.
You made a noise or did something when that scene was happening. We'll get into it when we talk about the movie, but.
Yeah,
when they were actually good or bad. When they were picking
teams. When they're picking teams.
Were you upset because you were the last one they picked all the time? Andy?
That poor kid in the crutches comes out, and then Andy just made a noise. It's like he did something like that.
Oh well, I was laughing at him actually playing basketball. I don't know if it was right there, but he like shoots like a really good shot and like makes a point, and everyone's like really proud of him. And then like the coach is like, "Great job!" And then the boy walking by, a little delayed, just goes, "Thanks, coach." He's like on crutches, like everyone's already on the other side of the court, and he's still trying to just get out of this side of the court.
And the coach says something like, "Let's go, Speedy." And
yeah, you're like, oh, something like that.
What,
man?
Yeah,
I thought the gym shots were weird because they had like these normal movie shots of like the kids picking teams, but every time they shot back to the bleachers where the kids were sitting, it was like framed like a Wes Anderson shot.
Yes,
like it's straight on, symmetrical, and it seemed really strange for the rest of the movie.
Well, I don't know if they're picking teams. You probably want to see it head on because that's what
applied directly as
heads. Maybe, but like I mean, it was like straight on those bleachers, fully symmetrical. Where like yeah. when the teams themselves, like the kids are at an angle.
Kind it does of, feel that's the same felt too. It feels weird. Cliche felt though as
movie.
A scene.
Yeah,
it is.
But I mean,
it's
that
like
happens.
I'm the outcast.
Yeah,
I even get picked last. After this other kid.
It's just real life, Andy. This happens to kids. It didn't happen to you, Mr. Popular.
No, it did.
Okay.
I swear. It happened. But that's what they're getting at. This kid has a lot of anxiety about...
What's his name? What's
oh
his
my
name?
God.
What is the main
oh
character?
The V okay, character. Okay.
Does this start with an S?
Movie's name.
Oh my God. Okay.
They say it about 1,000 times. Lewis is
Lewis.
His name.
It has an S in it.
No, isn't that Jack Black's name?
No, Jack Black's name is Jonathan.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's Kate Blanchett's name? Mrs. Zimmerman.
She was just Mrs. like Zimmerman the whole time or whatever.
Yep.
Okay.
And then their last name? Was like,
it's sort of the B.
Yeah, Baron.
Oh yeah, it was a long one.
Something I don't know.
Berkanowitz.
No, but close.
It was something like that. Barenthal. Jay Barenthal.
Ooh,
from The Walking Dead.
Yeah,
Jay Baruchel.
All right, should we just like jump into this film?
I don't know. Yeah.
Should we just like jump into this film?
You want to jump into the film? Is it like Last Action Hero?
He just wants it to be 3D.
Yeah.
He needs that experience.
That fully well,
we couldn't
immersive
get, we couldn't
experience.
Buy a 3D.
You
with
need
the
that
movie
topiary
pass.
Poop coming right at you.
It happened a couple times where there was some 3D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's go a few more broad strokes.
Sure.
To set the movie up in case you really have no idea what in the world we're talking about.
Yeah.
Some might not.
This probably should have played at the beginning. But the story is about a kid who loses his parents. Has mm-hmm. to go live with his uncle in a weird house, mm-hmm. which he finds out is magical, and his uncle himself is magical,
yep.
and his neighbor is magical, Kate Blanchett. Mm-hmm. And there used to be a evil sorcerer, warlock is what they call him in the film, who lived in the house and died and put a clock in its walls. What the clock does, we figure out as the movie goes on. We'll spoil that for you in a little bit. But
that was a solid setup.
That was real good, Brad.
I like that.
Thanks.
Where's this
going and you stop
where's,
me?
Where's this Brad been for months?
Yeah. Shh.
Oh, my gosh.
I just had a few more things
Hey, Brad,
say.
Can you get out of the way, please?
I'll, okay. I'll be just.
No, wait, Brad, we need you back here. No, hold on. Keep summarizing.
Okay, so what were you going to say?
Microphone now. I'm going to be on. Let me use your microphone. Can I borrow yours?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so Kyle MacLachlan plays the evil sorcerer who did die.
Warlock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we find out through his backstory that he went to war.
Because it takes place in the 50s.
It like
so.
Changed who he,
the war is
who
a
he li- was.
And what made you giggle in the theater?
Oh, yeah.
So there's a part where
we were watching this.
Says something. It's like he hasn't been the same since the war or something.
Yeah,
like
and
that.
Some guy in the back was like, what war?
They show you which war. Oh,
and I was like, gosh. It's 1955. What war do you think? They said France. Oh, it was fun. Yeah.
The movie needed to set that up for that guy.
Just yeah. for that guy,
lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's those little moments about going to the theater that are really nice. Yeah.
Also, there was a part, in, like, I forget when it was, but I could literally hear everybody eating food in the
yeah.
theater.
There
like,
was someone
like
that
it was like surround sound food.
Oh, wow.
The
You're
person behind us brought a Subway sandwich, I'm pretty
it
sure.
It was insane.
Yeah, they busted that thing out and then they crinkled it up and swished it.
There wasn't even a garbage can up there. They just threw it in the front row.
It. It's just like that, like when you start to hear like a clock in the room, going back to this movie, you just hear the ticking every time.
Yeah.
As soon as I started to hear a little bit, I zeroed in and just started hearing everybody just chowing down around me.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't imagine what this movie sounds
like. Maybe
it was like
a subconscious thing since you like blur out like – people blur out like a ticking clock in their house or something like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe it just allowed you like to focus in on everything else because it got kind of silent.
I felt like I was Daredevil.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Could,
like, there was a moment in the movie where I felt the same way. I was like, it's really loud in here.
It was so loud. Were they microphones?
I don't know.
Was it like piped into the movie?
The person right behind us.
They literally
had a Subway sandwich.
Oh my God. You're just so.
We
got
to keep going back to this theater.
Yeah. You've been watching A Quiet Place nonstop in theaters since it came out. And you're like, oh, movies aren't like this anymore.
Yeah. And that would be the worst movie to bring a Subway sandwich to.
Yeah.
You'd never be able to bust that guy open.
I like how your sympathy's with the person that brought the Subway sandwich. You're like, that poor guy didn't get to eat his sandwich.
You know what? That's been me at one point.
Well, this movie has like quiets and lulls and things. It's not like a superhero action movie where it's like nonstop things exploding or stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
You can kind of
just
relax
really
and
seem
go
to
through
pick
the
up
town
very quickly. It, mm-hmm. it drags for a little while.
Yeah,
because you don't really know like that Jack Black's character is a warlock for
okay.
a little while.
Well, now let's take it all
yeah.
the way
Tell
to the beginning.
Tell us about
of
when
the
that
film.
Happens.
Now that I've set it up for.
So the kids
at home, even though I had more to set up, but I'm going to land in doing it.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a relationship develops between the main character and this other boy at school.
Lewis and some
Tarby.
Oh, Tarby.
Who seems like a jerk kid, but like he starts to be nice to our main character.
Yeah. He's like running for election. He's like, hey, I have a button and like vote for me. And so you think he's like a really good character.
He's got a cast on.
He's like the one friend that the main character gets. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And apparently, like, all the other kind of characters, like, all the other children do kind of, like, wash away in the background of the school.
Yeah.
Like, there's one other bully guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's one girl who has, like, a crush on Lewis, but just, like, in the background.
Yep.
And do we ever see it? There's no teachers or principals or nothing, really.
Just
like,
the
gym coach, yeah.
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 So we don't really know what his life is like at school. We're assuming that he's smart. Because he carries around a dictionary.
He knows difficult words.
All about spelling bees.
Which just ends up being superfluous.
Yeah.
See what I did?
Yeah, that was good.
Thanks.
Wow. Hey, Brad, where'd you read that word? In dictionary?
I have a Wiktionary calendar.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Was that on there today?
It was today's word.
Yeah.
This will be the first time and the last time. Yeah, so, and Tarby feels like an outcast, too, because he can't play football where all of his friends are playing. He's got this cast on.
Yeah.
So they kind of
bond together.
They bond over that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're both outsiders at that point.
Right,
Nobody
sort
really
of.
Wants to be around them.
Sort of. They they understand, like, to what degree they're an outsider.
And they're just forming a relationship, which I've never really, when I was a kid, I always had, like, groups of friends.
Yeah.
It was like very rare that I'd like zero in on just having like one friend, unless he was like a neighbor.
Oh, well, rub it in, Brad.
Yeah.
Mr. Oh, I had so many friends in school.
I had so many friends.
Oh my God, my parents died. I moved to a new school. I had every friend in the world.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, just kids are nice to you.
No, yeah. I mean, I had.
Well, the problem with him is he just moved here, so he knows nobody.
Yeah.
Mm. So this is the one guy he meets, and that's it.
Right.
Because he's also just kind of like, he's like socially awkward.
Yeah, like his the first thing he experiences at the new school is gym class where they pick teams, which is still worst.
And no one wants him because why? Because
he's new and they okay, like even.
Because he's wearing goggles?
Yeah, they pick.
Like Mr. Phantasm.
They pick the crutches kid over him, and I'm like, even if he's an unknown quantity, you still choose him first. Come on.
I know, and. And I felt that way too, but then I was like, I don't want to feel
this
way.
The worst was when they weren't even going to
pick the movie made
period.
You feel that way.
They picked the crutches kid, and then they were both like, sorry, you don't get a team. They were going to just straight up not even
just
have
not
him
play.
Him
on this game.
I know. It's like, can't like, you have like one or two bench warmers?
Additionally, are they playing like 10 versus 10 basketball games?
There was a lot of kids on that court.
Those were the big teams.
People sitting out anyway. What do you mean he's got to sit out? There's going to be like eight people sitting out at a time.
Yeah.
That was weird.
You could just do 4-on-4.
You guys know how basketball works?
Right. Everyone's going to play except one kid.
Except right.
Because the team's got to be even.
Yeah.
Well, but they're going to play 7-on-7 in a basketball game?
I don't know. So that's a problem, apparently, that the character experiences pretty early on.
Let me rewrite this movie for Mr. Eric Kripke. Fix this whole thing. Get the kid playing dodgeball.
That's some free advice, buddy.
Yeah.
So, Tarby, tell, like, pretty early on, I think he talks to Tarby about his uncle being kind of awkward and weird.
Well,
and
he lives in the murder house,
yeah,
is
that's
what
right.
Tarby says.
Yeah,
this house
he clues
has
him
a,
in.
A past.
Some old guy died there.
Yeah.
That's how he explains it.
It's a creepy house.
And so there's some investigation.
And we already get that
get
from
done.
When, because he first meets Jack Black, and who is clearly not, like, a dad kind of person.
No.
Right.
Doesn't know what to do.
He's
he tells
a loner.
Him, like, the...
He
was like, eat cookies until you puke.
Yeah.
It's no bedtime.
He has
don't worry
no
about
business
it.
Raising a kid.
Right. There are no rules in this house.
That's what,
except
okay.
one rule.
There's one rule, and he doesn't tell. Like, he's like, there's no rules in this house. And then gets mad at him later. He's like, there was rules. And you're like, no, come on. It's
there was one
there
rule.
There was that one rule. Don't open the cabinet.
Yeah.
But he didn't tell him why.
Happen. No, yeah.
He didn't
yeah.
tell him why.
But also, Kate Blanchett keeps belaboring the point. It's like, just tell him.
Yeah.
And Jack Black's like, no, I don't want to.
They're too busy right. hurling insults at each other the whole movie.
Which wanes, but I can see how child humor
yeah, kids
would like
enjoy that.
That.
They yeah. get, it's funny stuff.
You know, Hook, Puss Bucket. What's the rude, crude dude full of blue paper?
You almost, what is it? Rude, crude, lewd bag of pre-chewed food dude.
That's the one.
Yeah.
I can't believe you know that.
That's like my favorite line from that movie.
Oh, my God.
He'll be on his deathbed, and I'll be able to
that'll be his
I'll
famous
be,
last
I'll
word.
I'll be beckoning you closer. I'll be like, Brad. You're a loot, crude, food, dude. And then that's it. I'm on fire.
I would clap at that moment.
You would?
I would.
Stand up.
Like, I can't believe he did that.
But yeah, there's, you know, I get it why it's there. Yeah. It's just not, you know, for adults. We don't care. But it's fun for kids to call each other names.
Well, and at first it's
calling,
like it seems
adults are calling names.
It seems like there's an animosity, and then like by the end of the film you realize that it's like it's sort of their way of showing a friendly affection
they're,
for each other.
They're a family in a way. Mm-hmm. They're more brother and sister in a relationship.
Yes,
you could say.
Definitely.
Yep.
And we're kind of forgetting that this house is alive.
Magic.
It's alive.
It's like Pee-wee's
magic.
Playhouse.
It is Pee-wee's Playhouse. I was going to say
there's
that.
There's even a chair.
Yeah.
There's even a zombie.
Just straight up a reference.
Zombie is in this movie.
Yep.
Yeah,
no,
that's true.
You wish. Make it like a Heine home.
It is like Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Mm-hmm. But his room isn't magical. He's actually sleeping in the Warlock's old room.
Yeah.
It's got creepy
with like
moons
all over.
Yeah, yeah, it's like the phases of the moon.
But his room will like put clothes away and do things like that. Beauty and the Beast, also another example of a living house.
Can I tell you how awesome it would be to have a room that put clothes away for you? Because I hate folding laundry.
You have so much laundry
you have
on
so
your
much
floor
laundry.
Right now.
My house is 90% laundry.
It's been laundry for like 3 years. I've seen the same
it
laundry.
It never ends.
There. It just stays there. You
There's
just
so
keep
much,
adding
so
clothes
much laundry
to the laundry.
At some point, you're going to have to wash those clothes, Andy.
No, just buy new ones. I'm rich.
Oh, my God.
They're disposable.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
These clothes are as disposable as his income is.
Because he disposes of it on the clothes.
I can't afford to lose this t-shirt. It's my only one. Oh, no. So how quickly did Jack like reveal the magic
Very
stuff?
Very fast.
Was it pretty quick?
It was
almost immediately.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there's like a couple nights where he's like,
he, kept
he wakes up and
hush,
he's like,
hush, hush, eye for like a day or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, kaja goo goo. So,
but he hears the ticking in the walls.
Yes. Yeah,
and that's why the little kid goes
and
out.
He does follow Jack Black into like the furnace room. Mm-hmm.
This is where the magic has to come out because Jack Black, like a maniac, is chopping the wall down with an axe.
Right. He looks like a little crazy mm-hmm. to Lewis at this point. Starting to think that his uncle is like a murderer or something.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe his uncle did murder this warlock.
Bum,
oh, man. But the truth is,
he did it.
Jack Black's a warlock.
Yeah, Jack Black's a warlock.
Mm-hmm. And he finds that out.
Yeah.
And all he says is just like, please teach me how to be a warlock.
Yeah.
Please.
And Jack Black just gives him a bunch of books.
And he does.
He's a nerdy
he's
book
like,
kid.
Just read.
Yeah, he's like, all right, magic time. Here's
and someone. And he figures it out because the kid can read books.
Kid turns out to be really good at it. Jack Black's, I guess, like a pretty mediocre warlock or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I think he says, like, Kate Blanchett is, like, much better.
Oh, yeah. Like, he begs her to help him with the confrontation because he's like, I'm not very good at this magic stuff. You're so much better, please.
I feel like the issue, though, with this movie is the stakes are not really revealed until it's, like, way close to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
That doesn't come out until much later because that is, like, the secret of the movie.
There needs to be a first false reveal of something scary.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of.
Which is kind of the Jack Black thing, but that doesn't work because it ends so early.
They have the false reveal, but you're right. It's way too close to the rest of the reveal because the false reveal, like. Yep. It basically starts the reveal as the false reveal because that's when they, like, he's been having these dreams where his mom's been telling him what to, like, his dead mom's telling him things to do in the house. And then the reveal is the neighbor across the street was the wife of the guy who died and, like, was tricking the kid, making him think he was his mom.
I thought that was a good twist.
So Jack Black's character needed to be scarier and eviler looking for the first 20 minutes of the film.
To start, yes.
He needed to have looked like he was evil. And
yeah,
he
they tried to make him look that way, but like his character came off as just
too
like a hippie, casual,
and, yeah.
like no rules.
And that's why it didn't get sold when you got the switch,
right.
Which is bad directing, I'd say.
Yeah, they could have played that up a little
calling
bit.
Out
and
Mr.
Then
calling out Mr. Wrath.
Oh boy,
but he just wanted to keep it light and fun, I guess. Too, but
yeah.
You lose that aspect. You got to have him evil, so when we realize he's good. We're also relieved that Jack Black's on our side.
Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, there was a kid in our theater who did say that there were some creepy things happening in the movie as we were watching it. I heard him behind us. So,
did he have the Subway sandwich?
His mom.
His 3-year-old kid had a Subway sandwich.
Wow, a kid can put it away.
So maybe it was kind of creepy.
Foot long.
It was early on when he was going into his. When Lewis was going into his bedroom for the first time, this kid was like, that's creepy. This is creepy.
Cate Blanchett needed to also have been like scared of him or something.
Yeah.
There needed to be more elements of this guy's not.
She was
up.
Good, but like, I didn't really. Yeah. I don't really know what her character motivation is.
When the little kid catches Jack Black looking for the clock in the wall for the first time, Jack Black needs to like freak out on him or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turn into like a skeleton or I don't know.
Something scary.
Do something frightening to the kid to scare him. And that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did, like, there's little bits, like, the closet where, like, the tentacles bust out and, like, Jack West.
Those are just fun little
like,
things
oh,
that
no.
come up, yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. It's all these
it's, like, quirks of the house.
It leads to the house to be kind of scary, not the situation or the characters.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess the house is sort of a character, but.
The house becomes scary for some reason at the end of the film.
Yeah.
Everything in the house starts to become alive.
Well, like, they imply that the house is evil the whole time. They're like, no, the house is like magic, but it's not a good house. Mm-hmm. Like, his house is mad that we're here.
But it does like Lewis. It takes a liking to him. Like, kind of wants to make him laugh. It even plays his favorite television show on a mirror.
That's true.
Yep.
I didn't even think about that.
Mm-hmm. And the chair likes him.
Yeah. That's true.
And maybe they're just like kind of under a curse too later on when a lot of the items in the house start to turn on them.
Well, and I thought it too was part of the plan of like make the kid get the book. So like they make the kid like all that stuff.
Yeah, set all that up. Tell me about the dream sequence.
So.
Which may or may not be a dream sequence.
Yeah, there are a couple times where Lewis is dreaming or it looks like he's dreaming and his mom comes up to him and starts to talk to him about his uncle and. How he's a warlock, and you get some backstory on that. But really, after two sequences, his mother convinces him that he needs to find a book and a key.
Yep.
And that will, like, answer a lot of questions that he has about his uncle.
Yeah, and then, like and Jack Black's character is trying to keep this one room, like, cupboard thing a secret.
Yeah, it's just like a little chest with a padlock on it.
Yeah, he keeps, and it's like one of the kids, you know, you tell a kid, never do blank, and the kid's like, I want that.
But actually, that doesn't happen because Tarby's the one that convinces him to – or Tarby's the one that opens it.
Yeah.
Yes. Lewis is trying to impress him because he's lost some favor with Tarby since Tarby got his cast off.
And got elected.
And got elected. So he just like kind of turned his back
on his
friend.
Which is an interesting –
Classic politician.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a really kind of interesting and cool little element to the story. Like,
You
think he's this one way and right at like the halfway point.
That was one of the genuine surprises.
He's kind of a jerk.
Yeah, like all of a sudden, like right after the election, he's sort of like, leave me alone. I cast this off. My old pals are back.
Yeah.
Like, don't care.
His like isolation was like superficial. It was just, my arm's broken.
I did think it was kind of weird that they kind of multi-layered that transition, though, where they like imply that it's because he had the cast on that like no one was hanging with him, so he hung with the new kid. But then they also directly state that it was because he was like trying to get elected, so he was being nice, and now the election's over, so he's not. I was like, why both? Just make it one of those.
Yeah, it could have.
But
I guess it could have been both.
It's not a big deal, but I was a little confused by it.
And so Tarby doesn't want to hang out with him because
he's uncool. Baby.
Yeah,
right.
Because Lewis is uncool, and Tarby's like, I'm a cool kid again. So
and he doesn't want to mess with this book.
Right.
So like he puts the book back, locks it up, and Tarby's like, you're not cool anymore.
Yeah. Well, Tarby, yeah. he invites Tarby to his house to impress him.
Yeah. yeah.
And then Tarby finds the key, which is just in the cabinet itself.
He's trying to convince Tarby that magic's real.
Yeah.
Like, because he told him that, he's like, no, man, I'm totally cool. I do magic. And Tarby's like, oh my God, this nerd.
Right.
He kind of has like Matilda level magic in a way. He can make like water spurt out of faucets and things.
Fouls.
It's like fun stuff. I don't know why I said that.
Yeah.
Very funny. But.
And so right at like the halfway point of the movie is when Lewis is like, hey, Tarby, like I'll get that book and we'll go out to the cemetery and we'll
have a great time.
I'll show you, I'll prove it to you that this magic is real. We'll raise the dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll race cars.
You know, all normal eight-year-old
evil
things,
dead.
Mm-hmm. You know?
That's kind of what these kids wanted to be in a way.
Yeah.
Like, a little more adult than they were. Yeah. Tarby looks like John Travolta from Grease.
Yeah, he's got like a James Dean thing going on.
That's surprised he had a little pack of cigarettes in his.
I know.
Shirt,
he had like right? he had the white tee. He had the white tee with the rolled up sleeves, and then his jeans had like the 2-inch cuff with the Converse.
Yep.
1955. It's like if you're looking for a look,
classic
that says 1955.
Greaser middle schoolers.
Yeah.
So they follow the book. It has a little skeleton arm telling them where to go.
Mm-hmm.
It leads them to the evil warlocks, Kyle MacLachlan, don't know his name anymore.
Yeah, I don't remember.
His crypt. And they read the book. Lewis cuts his hand, bleeds on it, uses blood magic.
Yeah.
God.
Which is the worst kind of magic. And they resummon Kyle MacLachlan.
Yep.
Yep. And immediately, he like wakes up.
Yep. Here I am.
They run away.
Yeah, like, oh God,
what did I do?
We made a mistake.
Yeah,
yeah. And from then, basically, since he's been raised back from the dead, his plan all along is to destroy the world.
Yes,
he created this clock
to reset time,
to destroy mankind,
to make it.
Yeah,
yeah. And the clock itself, when it resets, it'll make it possible
it's
for him to.
It's a doomsday clock.
Yeah, to basically. Blow up the world.
Takes everything back to the Big Bang Theory, if I'm not mistaken.
It takes everything back to before people, I think.
Whoa.
Because he's like, people destroy the world. I was in the war, man.
It's people, man.
Yeah. I gotta say, that part where you see his like flashback while he's in the war is awesome.
It was so cool.
Really cool.
I thought of that movie, Witch, that I don't think you saw. That
BB-itch.
Came out like...
I haven't seen BB-itch.
It came out like 2 years ago. That movie's super creepy. And I immediately was like, this is like Hans Christian Andersen. Reference the Brothers Grimm at that point because he's in like the Black Forest in Germany.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if we mentioned this, but like Jack Black used to be the assistant to the Warlock guy and they used to do like a magic show. Yeah. And so they talk about how when Kyle MacLachlan went off tour, like, and when he came back, he was just not the same.
No.
Like, and they thought it was because he had, they like imply that, like, oh, he must be PTSD kind of thing. Like, yeah, he just like, it changed him because he saw terrible things. And the reveal later is no, it was actually because, like, well, I mean, he saw some not cool stuff, like his squad got killed, but then he met up with a demon.
Yeah. A literal demon.
Yeah. He even names the demon. He's like, yeah, it was a totally demon, bro, and I made a deal with it. It was pretty awesome.
It's this giant, gutted, old
bearded. It's like a
goat.
So
cool
it's like
looking.
A classic. Yeah.
He was scary.
He's got like goat
long
horns,
fingernails.
Glowing eyes. Yeah.
He's just like sitting on a log over a fire.
Oh, it looks so good.
It was really cool.
Yeah. That's like, whoa, Eli Roth. There's your touch.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that definitely worked. And so, like, before all of that, before he went to the war, I guess they were just like, they were warlocks, or they weren't warlocks, but they were magicians.
Yeah, they were magicians.
They were just doing like a magic show
with their magic.
They were warlocks with benefits.
Yeah. Were they warlocks at that point or no?
I think they were, and they used their magic to do their magician like magic show. So they were doing
tricks.
Okay,
so he was a warlock when he went over and fought in the war.
I think so.
And then met up with that demon. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're just warlocks pretending to be magicians.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good cover.
Yeah, it works.
Jack Black has a little
have to go to that war?
A backstory of why he left his family. Because Lewis even says, like, why weren't you around when we were little? I wish we could have hung out. And it was like, well, I had to leave my family because they just didn't understand I wanted to be a warlock.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They didn't get me.
That was the only thing that's kind of neat. They, like, imply that being a warlock is just something you learn. It's not necessarily that you
anybody
like,
can do
have,
it.
Yeah, anyone can do that. You just have to learn how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of neat.
And then you have to apply your,
own, to be
your
trainable.
Own touches to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, because that was initially Lewis was learning how to do magic, and they're like, backyard pond area
and learning pretty quick.
Yeah. And Jack Beck tells him, like, you have to put your own touch on this. Like, you can't just say these words from this book.
Yeah.
You have to mean this.
It eventually happens at the end where he figures out the big plan. Or he does something with his own touch.
Oh, right. With the eight ball.
The eight ball. He finds out where the clock is.
Yes.
With the eight ball. Which he has. It's the last thing his parents gave him was this magic eight ball.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we didn't say that the clock, it's impossible to find this clock because the evil warlock disguised it.
It has like a witch's hex.
Yeah, made it impossible to find.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
but all you can do is like hear it at night.
They can hear it all. That's why there's so many other clocks in the house. Jack Black,
to drown out the ticking of the house. Yeah.
And
so it's just like, don't live in that house. Come on.
You got to find that clock.
Find the clock, man.
See, that's the dilemma.
And look.
Find the clock or move out of the house.
You get a free, awesome, humongous house, okay?
That's true. Yeah.
There's also they also explain that like to become a full warlock you have to defeat an evil spirit before you're considered, and that comes back like they tell him that at the beginning, and then that comes back when they're trying to find the clock. They can't find it because only someone who's not a witch or a warlock can see it. And he's like, "Well, I am not a warlock yet. I just know magic, but I haven't defeated the spirit." And they're like, "Oh, nice technicality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get the virgin to light the candle."
Got it.
There's also a lady friend of Kyle MacLachlan who's helping him out.
His wife.
Who is also
his wife,
who's the neighbor across the street who is bothering Jack Black the whole movie.
Yeah.
She's got a little doggy.
She's
just nosy neighbor lady.
Yeah.
We find out the wife killed that lady, took her spot, doppelganged her.
Yeah.
Yep.
The little doggy's a rat that's her familiar.
Yep.
She's also some sort of warlock witchy poo.
Mm-hmm. Little witchy poo.
Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted her and Kate Blanchett to have like a fight. That never really happened. Kate Blanchett just kind of gets like lost in the reeds a little bit in the end of the film.
Yeah, I thought like
she's doing so good.
Where did she get lost?
It's just a turn. It's a turn of phrase.
I didn't know what you had said, and I was like, "What is that word?"
In the weeds.
Oh, in the weeds. Yeah. I thought you said the reeds.
Lost in the weeds. Like, huh? I did say reeds.
Oh, okay.
I thought the reeds were the things in the grass, like big pieces of grass
next to the weeds.
Yeah, different kinds of weeds.
Do they grow from seeds?
They grow in like the swamp.
They're seed reed weeds.
The reed full of sweet mead, dude.
Oh man!
But Kate Blanchett and Lewis bond because Jack Black flips out at Lewis for resurrecting this warlock.
Yeah, he finally fesses up to resurrecting
Kate Blanchett's
him.
Like, I know what it's like.
Blood magic.
Because I used to have a daughter that I lost. I lost my family, so I know what it's like.
Yeah,
taking you in and then. They don't get all back hunky-dory in the end.
Mm-hmm.
Once Lewis goes in to get that blueprint and gets attacked by a bunch of books, and they figure out the plan and get everything back on track.
There is also the funny bit where Lewis discovers that like they can't read this blueprint.
No.
And then he figures out that the code is just the code, little code breaker from like the Ovaltine, like from Christmas Story kind of thing.
Yeah.
Fanny decoder ring.
And that moment like brought me back into it where I was like, oh yeah, this is in 1955.
Yeah.
Like I was like, why did they just say Ovaltine? And then I was like, oh yep, it's a period piece.
And they go inside of a malt shop, and that's like where the funny stuff happens in the movie for the first time.
That was like some jokes.
It's like Jack Black like slams his hand on the counter and all the bubble gums in one of the shelves shatter.
Yeah, that's like a running gag with Jack Black is he'll like do something like dramatic and something happens because it was magic. Like he pops a bunch of corn. Earlier, like he slams his hand on the table on a bunch of ears of corn, just explode into popcorn.
Yeah, he's like, "I'll go get some butter."
Like that was a really good.
There were some good jokes in there. Yeah,
good bits. So in the malt shop, he like creates a sundae for a kid who's like, "Yeah," then it disappears again. He's like, "No."
Yeah. Well, all the bubblegum jars shatter. All the bubblegums go everywhere. He's like, "We'll take those."
Yeah, we'll take the bubblegum too. That was some good stuff.
More of that movie.
Yeah, I think there's decent writing in here.
Like I said, I enjoyed the movie.
But it works.
I liked it. Like this is a good like take your kids to see this Halloween time kind of film.
Yeah. Or two grown men sitting in a theater full of children like Andy and I do.
Hey, look, it's a normal thing. Like you bring your Subway sandwiches.
Yep.
You know, you eat them.
You eat them. At the quiet scenes.
I'm going to go see Goosebumps 2 in 2 weeks. That's going to be a great
time. Have you seen Goosebumps 1?
No.
You don't need to.
I don't want to. I just want to go right to the second one.
You're like, I don't need this build up.
You definitely probably don't need the backstory.
If anything important happened in the first one, they'll tell me at the start of the second one.
Probably.
That's true.
So they have like they start to have their showdown after they decode. They figure out what's supposed to go on. The warlock gets down. They basically they move fast. Like the warlock shows up in the house.
They get kicked out of the house for a brief moment of time.
Yeah,
pumpkins fight them.
Yeah.
Out of the house.
Barf all over them.
Then they have to fight their way back into the house. And all the stuff in the house is alive now. There's a bunch of creepy dummies.
And I like that gun that Kate Blanchett had with her umbrella.
She's got a little wand.
Little
zap wand thing. Yeah. They're fighting off all the weird things in the house that were inanimate.
The umbrella gun was
animate.
So funny. It had like a good laser gun sound when it shot. I was like, pew, pew.
Yeah, it was like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And like all these dolls that were down in the basement in that furnace room came alive
them.
And now they're starting to attack
that
everybody.
It was good and creepy. It was like, but like, kid creepy.
Kid creepy, yeah.
Enough creepy. There was like there was a Satan doll that was pretty,
yes,
for sure creepy.
Like a Faust, crazy Faust.
Yeah, he was like the main leader of those dolls.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they shoo him out of the house. They have to get back in, stop that clock, get under the boiler.
So, and the last room that they're in, mm-hmm. I got confused because they were kind of going into another room, into the wall, into another room, and I was like, I don't know where we're going.
So they go down into the boiler.
Yeah, they go to the boiler, then they climb down a ladder. Like, under it is, like, this crazy clock room.
But then Kate Blanchett has to stay up there to fight her snake that she accidentally transmogrified into a squid monster.
Yep, yeah. Yep. I was going to say, though, there's a scene where the floor starts falling out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is like Goonies.
It was like
this is a Goonies scene.
It was it was like falling in a half circle around the thing.
And I only know that because I watched Goonies for the first time this year.
On this podcast.
A few episodes ago. Listen to it at whatremember.com. This part of the movie reminds me of Casper.
Yes. I can see that too.
This whole movie was a Casper experience for me.
It was.
Because there's just machines. There's mechanisms.
Yep.
There's one person trying to stop some big thing happening.
Yeah, I almost felt kind of Hellboy too. Like
yeah, it was a little bit Hellboy as well.
I haven't seen Casper in a while.
Yeah, but yeah, like so, like all this clock machinery, these giant gears and stuff are just like down to this place, and they're trying to figure out how to stop the thing. Like the key turns on the clock, so now it's screwed because it's gonna go, and then they had the big dramatic MacGuffin.
Mm-hmm. Well, the whole movie is named after the MacGuffin.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
The clock is the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was thinking about the eight ball. But...
And the clock,
oh, the eight ball.
The eight ball. The clock is so the clock is gigantic. It seemingly endless goes into the floor.
Yeah,
and what I can tell is just cogs that are constantly moving.
Yep.
And the main character has an eight ball that he's been carrying through the whole movie that his parents gave him, last thing he ever gotten from his parents.
So like, asked his parents a question. He's like, "Mom, Dad, what do I do about blank?" And then it would answer the question.
Yeah.
For
so now he's using it as magic to help get help from his parents from the other side.
Mm-hmm.
He ends up just breaking it or dropping it into the cogs.
I think he throws it.
It was really good. Like he asks, like he shakes it and asks, like, "What, like, Mom, Dad, like, what do I do?" And
say
it says,
goodbye.
"Say goodbye." And he like he immediately
and then,
gets
and then
it.
He, and then he threw
throws
it.
The
he throws it into the
and
gears.
That thing shattered instantly.
Yeah. I thought it was like, oh well, that was okay. Yeah, that didn't work.
I did too. But the piece inside,
D12 or whatever is inside that eight ball.
And so that tumbles around and gets caught in one of the cogs and stops the clock completely.
Yep.
But let's talk about Baby Jack Black.
Baby Jack Black.
That's a good.
Eli
like
Roth's
song.
Baby Jack Black.
I will say Baby Jack Black for me.
Oh my
it
God!
Worked. It was the funniest shit
it was
I've ever seen.
Great! It was so good.
So Jack Black is trying
to say that.
Is trying to stop the clock. He screws up and he just gets like evaporated into a pile of clothes.
Yeah. I was like, why can't there be a whole movie about this?
Lewis goes up to the pile of clothes. Inside of it is a baby body, but regular Jack Black head baby.
Yes.
And I'm pretty
it's
sure,
horrifying,
I'm pretty
but
sure
great.
It's animatronic.
It's so good.
I forgot that that happened. And now I'm glad you brought
it
back up.
It was weird because it's adult head Jack Black, but it's baby brain. Because he's like, gee, 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 gee. You're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
He pees on him.
He does. He pees, like, pees up in the air.
Is
like,
that
oh,
a
boy.
Real animatronic baby?
I thought
I think
so.
The, I think the bottom was, obviously.
That looked CG. The head looked
the head
thing.
Was fake, or the head was...
Well, the head was superimposed. I thought the body was, like, a real thing, and then the head was
superimposed.
I think the body was a real thing.
Yeah,
I
thought so.
And then they just had, like, a green screen.
It was real messed up.
Black is just, like, crawling around the clock.
Oh, it was so funny. It was like. This is like the labyrinth.
Yeah, it was like Big Head mode in NBA Jam.
It was.
Well, I like, and then like right after that, when the clock's malfunctioning.
Do people know Big Head mode anymore?
Oh, yeah.
DK mode?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Okay, good.
The clock starts shooting out energy into the city, and it's like every person shoots gets turned into like a kid. And so, like, it's raining down.
Like, I don't remember this.
Because the point of the clock is to rewind time before people. Yeah. So it's, like, de-aging people, basically. People keep looking up at this lightning, and it hits them, and they're just, like, suddenly they're, like, six.
A bunch of old people turning into little kids.
Oh, geez. Oh, it's really good.
That. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Jack Black just got a full dose of it and turned into a baby, but with a Jack Black head.
How did Kyle MacLachlan and his wife eventually die? Because they also just turned into clothes or something, too.
So the energy bouncing around in the clock, this is like something they were training the kid on earlier. He grabs this energy, like focuses it, and then he like Kamehameha's Kyle MacLachlan away. He just like shoots it up at him, and they're like, oh God, and they like blow up into dust.
Okay. They fall into the clock or just go out into
the outer
space?
Fall into the clock, I think.
Okay.
What happened to their neighbor then? Does that mean
she got killed by the
killed.
Wife?
She's just dead.
Yeah, the wife killed her and took her place.
Oh, she straight up murdered her. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Dead faux show.
We're wrapping up a little bit. Cate Blanchett, we find her. She turned her squid back into her little snake.
Yep.
She also wears purple the whole movie. Never really.
Oh, it's her favorite color.
But... Yeah.
Because later on, purple, like they say that, purple. Like, we'll hang out all the time and we'll all wear black or something like that. And she's like, as long as I can wear purple.
Well, there's a thing about being black swans because Jack Black is like, I'm the black swan of my family.
Yeah.
And the little kid's like black sheep. He's like, no way, swans are cooler.
He's like, we'll give you a flock of swans. And the kid's like, I have a dictionary.
It's a bevy of swans.
It's a bevy of swans.
Yeah, yeah.
And Jack Black's like, shut up, kid.
It's like, you're too smart.
So everything kind of wraps up really nice. He goes back to school. The little cute girl that was trying to be friends with him is there. She's into insects. She even has little drawings of him in the book.
And even before then, they replay the basketball scene where it's like, which team is he going to be on again?
And he gives two kids concussions.
And he killed two kids.
He did. They didn't get back up.
He like killed those two kids.
They did not get back up.
No one was worried about those two kids either. Like, they get straight up knocked out cold.
So he's starting to use his magic in the school, and he just whips these kids with a basketball. It goes in the hoop, and everyone wants him on his team.
Yeah. No one wanted to pick him again.
From like across the room, he just like he tosses the ball and it flies at them at like 50 miles an hour.
Like Teen Wolf, but with Teen Warlock.
You're right.
And he's gonna be playing basketball.
I'd want to see that movie.
Teen Warlock?
I'd watch Teen Warlock. But yeah, he knocks those two kids out and the ball flies in the basket, and then everyone's like, oh, I want him on my team, and no one is worried about the kids that are now unconscious. And
then he leaves.
But he didn't want to play.
Yeah.
He walks away and then hangs out with the girl.
Sorry, guys.
And then he leaves with Jack Black and Cate Blanchett, and they're going to have a nice family together, and everything's going to seem
good.
Yeah,
become a little family unit.
There's probably going to be more sequels of them solving stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say they wrapped it up so nicely that, you know, I don't know if there will be
a sequel. But
there could be
with Spielberg,
if there's like 10
put
books.
The money up, I don't know.
I would say it sounds like this movie's been grossing a good amount, too. So
I think, I briefly skipped through the Wikipedia. As far as I know, it broke even so far.
But it's only been out like 2 weeks.
We'll see. I don't know. We'll see.
We'll have to see.
I mean, it's already making a little bit of money, so it's going to be fine.
I give it a solid C, as in go ahead and see it if you want to.
Wow, Brad, that's good scale. I like that. It was classic. No one's ever thought of it.
Yeah, I'd give it like a C+, B-.
Ooh, wow, okay.
Somewhere in there.
You got two
B-minus this movie.
C+.
Wait.
I'll say C+.
C++.
I give it a solid B. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun film to watch, even as an adult. But if you have kids, I would definitely see it with them. Kids are going to love this movie. It's good.
We are What We Remember. We have a normal podcast where we talk about old movies. Coming out by the time you hear this episode will be Lost World Jurassic Park. Our Halloween movie is going to be I Know What You Did Last Summer. We've got Bowfinger coming out. We're going to do a Christmas movie. Joe's Apartment. In the past, we have Goonies, RoboCop, Top Gun. If there's a big classic movie that you love, we probably talked about it. WhatWeRemember.com is where to go. Search for that in any podcast app of choice. All social medias, WhatWeRemember, Twitter.com/WhatWeRemember, Facebook.com/WhatWeRemember, Instagram.com/ThisIsWhatWeRemember. That one's a little different.
Oh, wow.
Because the other one was
too. Someone beat us to it.
Yeah.
So that one's different.
Different.
Oh, that one is the different
That's
one.
That's the different one.
Okay. All right. Guys, it's different.
WhatWeRememberPodcast@gmail.com for questions and comments. We're probably going to go on hiatus from Podcast Detroit for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be back maybe in a few months. But if you loved us, let us know and like our normal show. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.